Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
The series for the next 4 weeks is called As You Are. We just sang words of Jesus. Just come as you are. And one of the things we witness in every single psalm in God's Word is that the people who the Holy Spirit inspired to write these things, and the people who were crying out to God, regardless of whether they were celebrating and offering thanksgiving or they were praying for the demise of their enemies and they didn't understand the situation and the circumstances of their life then and there, and they were just crying out to God to do something. Regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the position of their hearts, when they prayed these things and sung these things that we find in the Psalms, one thing that is clear about every one of the Psalms, including Psalm 80, is that these people came to God as they were. So my prayer over the next few weeks, we just got done with the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know about you, but for me, it was good. But some Sundays, it was hard. Hard in the best way. Because the Lord was using those passages to shape me. And I pray that He was doing the same thing for you. My prayer for the next few weeks is that He would continue to do that, but I just want us to be reminded of the grace and the mercy of our Lord, that regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the position of our hearts, when He calls us to come, He calls us to come as we are. And that is a wonderful thing. Psalm 80. I'm going to read it, and then we are going to dive in this morning. I'm going to encourage you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. Before I begin, just a little bit of context. This is a congregational psalm. This is a psalm that God's people during this time cried out together. It perhaps may have been cried out by individuals, but you can see as we read it that it is a cry not just of an individual, but of God's people. They had seen God do mighty things among them, rescue them, bring them out of Egypt, bring them into the land He promised them, establish a kingdom for them under the reign of David and then his son Solomon, and then things, because of their sin, went bad. And they find themselves on the other side of the demise of their nation. They find themselves historically on the other side of that, and now they are crying out to their God. Verse 1, follow along with me. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. They came to the Lord just as they were. Today, as a church, the body of believers here at Eastside together, I want us to see three pieces of truth from the psalm. Today, as individuals who have believed upon the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus and repented of our sins, I want us as individuals to see the truth of this psalm for us as Christians. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you have yet to believe upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you have yet to repent of your sins, my prayer is that you would see the truth of this psalm that is echoed throughout God's Word, and you today would repent and believe upon the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at three pieces of truth this morning. We're going to pull them out, and we're just going to apply them to our lives. Are you ready? Let's go. Truth piece one is this, that we see clearly in this psalm, is this. Our sin separates us from God. This is not something that we just have. Psalm 80 is not an echo chamber. Psalm 80 is echoing what the rest of Scripture teaches us. These people that are crying out to God are crying out based upon the truth that they know their sin separated them from God. Look at where they start in verse 1. Look at how they address God. Give ear. In other words, listen. It's a command, but it's a request. Listen to us. And look how they address God. O shepherd of Israel. At this point in history, God's people, they were a nation. A nation. And so when they refer to themselves as Israel, and then they refer to themselves as different tribes in that nation, Joseph, and they're referring to themselves there, and Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, referring to themselves again there. They call God shepherd. Now, a good shepherd doesn't leave his flock, does he? A good shepherd tends to his flock, right? And if part of his flock wanders off, he goes to get his flock. We hear Jesus speak of this in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 15, we hear the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go get the one, right? So from the very beginning of this psalm, the people who are crying out to the Lord here are recognizing that the shepherd did not leave them. The shepherd did not separate himself from them, but they separated themselves from the shepherd. You look at the second part of verse 2, actually the last part, says, come to save us. And then in verse 3, in verse 7, and verse 19, the refrain and theme of this psalm, restore us, O God. Most translations of the Bible today, the first two words, restore us, in verse 3 and 7 and 19, are translated as that, restore us. But the best translation of that Hebrew word is found in the King James, and it's turn us again. In other words, they are crying out to God, They are not saying, oh God, turn back to us. They're not saying, oh God, wait while we turn our hearts back to you. No, they are in complete surrender, complete desperation, recognizing their only hope is in their shepherd. And their cry out to him is, God, would you turn us back to you again? You weren't the ones who separated yourself from us. We're the ones who separated ourselves from you. And now we need you to turn us back to yourself. They recognized very clearly in this psalm from beginning to end that their sin was what separated them from God. And notice God, you read through the Old Testament, read through the New Testament, you see that one of the ways that God disciplines His people is when they go down a road of sin, a path of sin, and they continue to make choices. One of the things He does to discipline us, and I would say one of the harshest actions of discipline from our Lord is that He allows us to go down that road. So that when we finally open our eyes and we turn around, we see just how far we've strayed. Just how far our hearts were from Him. But He does it so that we'll turn back to Him. Look at verses 5 and 6. The psalmist speaks of the Lord's discipline here. He says, verse 5, You have fed them, God's people, with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. In other words, tears by the gallon. This is how God's people have survived. Tears by the gallon. Their days are filled with crying. Their nights are filled with crying because of what the Lord has allowed them to go through. Because of the disparity of their situation. Verse 6, you make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. So the enemies that they once reigned over now turn and look at God's people, the nation of God's people, and they mock them and laugh. Because God has let them take that road. Their hearts turned from Him, and He allowed them to turn from Him. Look at verses 12 and 13. Why then have you broken down its walls? Speaking of Jerusalem. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? In other words, they have come through and they have just gotten everything that was of any value. They, like an army, pillaging the nation of Israel. And that literally happened. Verse 13, the boar from the forest ravages it. In other words, there's no protection. And all that move in the field, even the insects, feed on it. There's no protection for God's people. God's people's enemies laugh at them. It's gotten so bad that there is nothing even left to pillage from God's people. And this is where they are crying out to God from there. And notice, they are recognizing that their sin has separated them from God. God did not separate Himself from them. They separated themselves from God. Some of you here today know this reality. I think all of us do, if we're honest. But some of you here today are not a Christian. You've yet to believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You've yet to repent of your sins and turn to the one who lived a perfect life for you and died on a cross for you and rose up victoriously over sin and death on your behalf. You've yet to surrender your life to Him. And you have no shepherd to guide you by still waters. You have no shepherd to lead you by green pastures in the midst of the chaos of this world. To protect you from being tossed to and fro by this world. You have no shepherd to protect you. You have no shepherd to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know this reality because you know in the midst of chaos in this world, you yearn for peace, but there is no peace. You wish there was, but there's not. It's fleeting. And here's the reality for you if you're not a Christian. That is the eternity in front of you. An eternity apart from a shepherd who loves you, who would lead you by still waters, eternally lead you by still waters, so your thirst in your heart would be quenched forever. Eternity apart from a good shepherd, Jesus, who would lead you into green pastures, so that the hunger of your soul would be satisfied forever. An eternity with a good shepherd who would protect you and bring you peace and comfort eternally from all the things you have experienced here on this earth. A good shepherd who would give you eternal life rather than eternal torment. A good shepherd who would bring you eternal comfort rather than eternal grief. That is the reality of hell. No shepherd, no peace, no comfort, forever thirsty, forever hungry, forever grieving, forever tormented. But the shepherd is available to you. You can cry out to him this morning. Now, from your pew, you can cry out to him as a beggar. You have not lived a perfect life, but Jesus did, so that you could call upon his name and receive his righteousness. You have not paid the penalty for your sins, but Jesus did. He died upon the cross for you so that you could call upon his name, and that debt would be paid eternally. You did not conquer sin or death, but Jesus did for you so you could call upon his name and stand victoriously as a son or daughter of God for eternally, taken care of for eternal, for eternity, forever and ever and ever by the Lord your God who sent his son to die for you. That can be yours this morning by faith alone. He did not separate himself from you, but your sins separated you from him. And believers, this morning, we know this to be true too, do we not? Because here's the reality for some of us this morning. Some of us who are here, who know Jesus, who have surrendered our lives to him, whose eternities are secure in his life, death, and resurrection because of our faith in him. We find ourselves far from our Lord this morning. We've repented of our sins and believed upon the life, death, and resurrection, but there is still some of us here who life has hit you with a wave after wave of suffering, or wave after wave of grief, or wave after wave of just chaos and busyness. And you find yourself here this morning feeling far from the Lord. You open up the Word of God to read your Bible and you feel far from the Lord. You stand to sing with your church family and you feel far from the Lord. And I just want to remind our hearts and our minds of something this morning. If we, as God's people, are far from the Lord, it is always, always because of our sinful hearts. And it is never, ever because he has wandered from us. And he is always there, ready to respond to a cry like this. Turn our hearts back to you again, O Lord. So maybe that's where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you find yourself here this morning and you have yet to believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's good news for all of us. For the Christian, he is waiting for us to do what? To come as we are. And for the sinner who has yet to repent of their sin and believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, He is waiting for you to come as you are. So, our sin is what separates us from God. This brings us to our second piece of truth this morning. You with me so far? I know we're deep. I know we're wading deep, but just hang with me. God is our rescuer and sustainer. This is the hope. This truth that God is our rescuer and sustainer is the hope that drove these people to cry out this psalm. It is also the hope that should drive us as Christians to echo this psalm with our hearts and with our mouths. Look at verses 8 through 11. The psalmist and those who participated in singing this or repeating this, as a part of the psalm, they remembered what God had done for them. Look at verse 8. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. He is speaking of the nation of Israel. For years upon years, God's people found themselves enslaved in Egypt. We spoke of this last week. Enslaved in Egypt. God rescued them mightily out of Egypt. For 40 years, because of their sin, they wandered in the wilderness. And the entire time after that rescue, God sustained them in the wilderness until He brought them to the edge of the promised land. And then, when He brought them into the promised land, He drove out nations on their behalf so that they would find cities and homes that were filled with good things that they did not earn, did not build, and plants and farms that they did not plant. And He planted them there. And there their roots grew deep. Look at what He says in verse 9. He says, "You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root," speaking of the nation of Israel, God's people. "It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out branches to the sea and its shoots to the river." The psalmist is speaking of the greatness of God's people, how He planted them in the promised land. Then they grew in might and power and strength and sovereignty over other nations. Under the reign of David, God sustained them. Under the reign of Solomon, God sustained them. And then as we read through the Old Testament, we see God's people enter into a season like many others where they were filled with sin. They worshipped other things as they were God, but they weren't, and they did not worship the one true God. Their hearts turned away from God, their rescuer and sustainer. And the nation crumbled. God's people crumbled. But they recognized them until their sin separated them from God. God rescued them. He was their rescuer, and He was their sustainer. And this is why, as they cry out to God, they cry out to Him as their rescuer and sustainer. They recognize that. Look at verse 2. The second part of verse 2, He says, "Stir up your might and come to save us." They are appealing to God's strength there. Look at verse 4. He says, "O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry?" That word "host" there in our Bibles, in some of yours, it may be translated this way, is armies. And not just armies of men, but armies of angels, angelic beings, more powerful than we can imagine. And God commands them. He is mighty and strong. He had rescued them in the past. They wanted Him to rescue them again and sustain them again. And then we get to the refrain, verse 3, verse 7, verse 19, "Restore us, O God, turn us back." So they are appealing to God. They are reminding themselves, but they are crying out to God based on what He already has done and who He has proven to be, their rescuer and sustainer. You still with me? And the same is true of us today. You find yourself here as a Christian this morning, and you find yourself far from the Lord because your heart has turned away from Him. Remind yourself this morning that God is your rescuer. So many verses and passages of God's Word point to this fact, but one of the easiest ones that summarize this is that for God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is a summation of God's rescue of us, sinners. He doesn't say God looked down on the world and saw some that were doing really well, so He decided to send Jesus to go get them. He just says, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son. We know what happened when He sent His Son, right? We've already said it this morning. Jesus lived a perfect life. He died sacrificially on the cross, and then He resurrected victoriously over sin and death on our behalf. Because we couldn't and didn't do it. So we remember God is our rescuer. Christian, if you hear and you feel that your heart is far from Him, remind yourself of what He has done for you in the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. He loves you that much. Amen. Not only that, but He sustains us. He doesn't just adopt us and call us His son or daughter based on what His Son has done. He doesn't just simply bring us into His kingdom and then leave us to figure out things on our own. He sustains us. Jesus says this in John 10, verses 27 and 28. He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Then He keeps going. "I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." He doesn't say that they will never let go of Me. He doesn't say that as long as they hold on to Me, I will provide these things for them. He says, "I will give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." When we are His, He sustains us. So Christian, if you're here and your heart feels far away from the Lord this morning, recognize something. He's not calling you to get it all together, to muster up just enough strength so that you can turn your heart back to Him. No, He has held on to you the entire time that your heart has gone astray, because you are His and He is your shepherd. If you cry out the way that this psalm leads us to cry out, "Restore me again, turn my heart back to You, O Lord," He will, because you are His. If you're here and you're not a Christian today, well, before we get there, just our sin separates us from God. Are you with me there? You see it in the psalm, right? Some of you could echo it from other passages in the Word. It's all through the Word. God is our rescuer and sustainer. Another truth that is echoed throughout the Word, that is echoed in this psalm. The question is, how do we come to our rescuer and sustainer? If it's true that my sin separates me from God, but God is my rescuer and sustainer, how do I come to Him? And this brings us to where we started singing before I came forward. This brings us to what I've already mentioned this morning. We simply come to God as we are. Psalm 80 simply brings people to the Lord as they are. There is no appeal based on what they've done. There is no appeal based on what they've changed about themselves. There is no evidence given to prove that they are different than who they were when they strayed away from the Lord. There is simply a resounding plea based upon God's love and grace and mercy for them. Restore us, verse 3. Restore us, verse 7. Restore us, verse 19. And it is based upon who God is. God's love when they cry out to Him as shepherd in verse 1. God's authority and based on verse 1 when they say, "You are enthroned above the cherubim." God's power when they cry out to Him and say, "Oh God, stir up Your might. Oh God, Lord of hosts, of armies." based on His power, His authority, His love, and His history, based on the fact that He has rescued them in the past and sustained them in the past, and they believe that He will again. So how do we come to our rescuer and sustainer as Christians if we feel far off because of our wayward hearts? We come to Him right now as we are. We don't wait till we feel better about it tomorrow. We don't wait till we feel like we've got it together. We don't wait to clean ourselves up. We just come to Him as we are. So if that's you this morning, Christian, I want to encourage you in your pew or at the altar this morning as we sing, as Slade plays, I want you not to wait till you get home, but to bow your hearts to your Lord and silently or out loud, however you want to do it, you can sing it. Slade's going to be playing it. Come to your Lord, the God of Israel, the God of the church that He sent Jesus to die for, as you are, based on His love, His mercy, and His grace found in His Son today. If you're here this morning, you've yet to place faith in Jesus, I'm not appealing to you to clean yourself up and come to God. The Bible's not appealing to you to behave better so that God might save you and choose you. Based on what God's Word teaches us this morning and throughout its Word, I'm appealing to you, if you have yet to come to Jesus, don't try to clean yourself up. Don't try to wash yourself clean. Just come to Him. As a filthy, dirty, crusty sheep, and say, Lord, I need You to be my shepherd. I need Your perfect Son's life. I need Your perfect Son's death. I need Your perfect Son's resurrection. Please save me. And the grace and mercy of our Lord will be poured out on you. Praise God. We can come to Him as we are. I'm going to pray. This morning at Slade Scenes, you can remain in your seat and bow your hearts. You can come forward and bow your hearts and cry out to the Lord. Maybe you need to cry out on behalf of someone who you know is straying. Maybe you can cry out for your own heart. Lord, turn my heart back to You. Maybe you need to turn to the Lord for the first time. And surrender your life to Him. Maybe you just need to stand and sing because your Lord has been graceful and merciful to you. Let's pray. O God of our fathers, who time and time and time and time again showed them grace and mercy. God, our hearts are so easily swayed and become embittered so quickly and turn from You so easily. God, I pray that as a church, You would turn our hearts back to You. As we sing this morning, you would do that. I pray for the sinner who's here, who's yet to place faith in You, that you would turn their hearts to You. And they would repent and believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Your Son and be adopted as Your son or daughter. God, do what only You can this morning. In Your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.